Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. It's August the 6th, the Roman Show back on the airwaves as we are celebrating 3 years on being on the air. And we have a spectacular show this evening with World Series of Fighting main eventer Luis Gonzalez. He fights Luis Baboon Palomino. Also on tonight's show, Brandon Himpelman, who fights Olympic medalist Alexis Vila on the same fight card, the World Series of Fighting, that's this Saturday. And also, lastly, the creator of the UFC, Art Davey. He joins us tonight to talk about his book, Is It Legal?
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in the bank.
Booster. Go. Retro.
Go. Vital.
Go. Five.
Guidance. Guidance. Go.
Surgeon.
Go. Blade.
Ecom.
We're go. Blade.
GNC.
We're go.
Telling you.
Go.
Control. Go.
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 Go. FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Covering.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go. Blade.
Launch control. This is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
Welcome, everyone. It's August 6th here on The Roman Show as we're getting ready for another episode. And we are celebrating 3 years, believe it or not, that the Roman Show has been on the air. And with some exciting news, that's because on August 30th, the Roman Show will be in Sacramento, California. We will be covering UFC 177. And that is in itself is going to be a great fight card with Moran Dillashaw going at it for the second time for the title. So that's UFC 177, Sacramento, California. If you are in Cali, well then, make sure you check out The Roman Show, myself and everyone else. We will have a lot of fun. Make sure you go ahead and visit our website, theromanshow.com, for the latest information and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/allroman0201. Follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show. And lastly, you need to like our Facebook fan page. That's facebook.com/romanshowmedia. All right, lots to talk about tonight. But we want to first start off with our first guest, and that is Luis Gonzalez, who will be the main event this Saturday in the World Series of Fighting fight card number 12. And that takes place at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you tune in because it's going to be a great fight with Palomino and Gonzalez going at it. Gonzalez is undefeated. Palomino from down here in Miami and has had a lengthy career in mixed martial arts. So you need to tune in to watch this awesome fight card.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport with the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of the Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up the Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to the Roman Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday, August 9th, the World Series of Fighting returns with the World Series of Fighting 12, and the main event features Luis Palomino versus Luis Gonzalez on the main event. On the line right now, we have Luis on the line. Luis, thanks very much for joining us here on The Roman Show. Hello, Luis?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here.
It's okay. How are you, Luis, and welcome to The Roman Show.
Alright, thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Well, Luis, tell us about this coming up fight. You got Luis Baboon Palomino, but you were scheduled to fight in January earlier this year, but an injury pulled you back. Can you tell us exactly what the injury was, or were there any setbacks coming back into training?
No, only that I just, just shit some time off. I'm not going to just discuss the specific injury, but it was something that like really affected my mobility and my movement, so I couldn't. Me and my trainers, we tried, babying it for like a day and then checking it out and then tried doing a light workout, and it just wasn't working out, so I had to pull out of the site.
And how long were you out of training for?
It was like close to 4 months, about 4 months.
So sometimes, but now you're back, you're ready, you're 100% ready now, ready to go?
Yeah, 100% ready to go. Yeah, I feel great. So I had a good camp, and this week it's just, keeping my cardio up and getting down on the weight. So.
Right, your last fight was in August against Tony McKee, where you debuted with the World Series of Fighting. And we had a show Palomino here, and he said, I have fought more notable guys than he has. I know he comes in with an undefeated record and so forth. What would you say to that? Because it seems that he's been saying this a lot often in interviews.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I would say I fought some tough opponents, I started my career at 170s. And the first half of my career, I fought Justin Baseman, who was just in the Bellator tournament at 170s, and I stopped him. He's a good straight stand-up fighter, and I finished him, in the first minute of the first round. So, and he's doing well for himself, and he's in Bellator and at 170s, and I've dropped to 55 since then. And then, I fought some tough guys. Like I said, I think, not taking away from any other area, USA is big on MMA, but I think California, our regional, is tough, and it's like trying to get to the next level in California is I have tougher than most other places, because a lot of these top guys that are coming out of our, there's a lot of good gyms in California. It's just stacked with the gym after good gym, and I think a lot of those guys not making it to the big show, then I think sometimes it's easier to get to the big show coming out of another state or another area.
Yeah. And now, obviously, you're 9-0, you're undefeated, but Palomino has, I think, over 30 fights or whatnot. But what would you say is something about him that really catches your eye or his downfall in his fight game? And one thing that I could just tell you off the bat, I've been seeing him for several times, is when he fought Buscapé, Luis Firmino Buscapé, who's now in the World Series of Fighting, when he pretty much uses ground game. But what would you say is one of the gaps here for Luis Palomino?
He thinks that I'm just gonna wait for him to punch and pick a shot. Like, I mean I'm not afraid to stand with him. I feel like I could stand with him, but he gets a little excited, and I know eventually, I mean, even the guys, like he was saying, the guys that he has finished, like he gets taken down a couple times before them. And yeah, I watched the Luis Buscapé fight. I feel like I can stand with him if I need to, where it looked like Buscapé was just going straight for the takedown, and that worked well for him. I feel like my wrestling and my takedown offense is, just as good or maybe even better than his. So since I come from a straight wrestling background, his is more of a jiu-jitsu background. I see openings when he tried to exchange. He gets in the heat of the moment of the exchange, and a lot of he swings and misses. He swings and misses big, and he's open for takedowns. So.
And looking into this, coming out with this fight, Lewis, what got you motivated into mixed martial arts? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I grew up watching it, my dad was a big fan, so I grew up, I've watched the UFCs from the first one, and, I've just watched MMA forever, my whole family loved watching it, I started out wrestling, my dad was a wrestling coach, my brother's a wrestler, so I grew up wrestling, and then kind of just took off from there, and then kind of my wrestling career was over, and then, I saw there was an MMA gym, and I had a couple buddies, like I grew up wrestling with, like TJ Dillashaw and Joe Soto and those guys, and those guys were doing well for themselves in MMA. So I was like, hey, let's start training. Let's get a fight and see how it goes. And it kind of just took off from there.
And now it's all history now. But we're moving forward. Melvin Gillard is scheduled to get a title shot against Justin Gaethje. He's the runner-up against Gaethje's title. It hasn't been announced yet, but you know, I even asked Mr. Palomino, it possibly could be that you and him could be for a title shot. Has there been any word on this yet?
We had the press conference interview, and Ray Sheffield was on, and he said they're definitely looking at our fight as a potential, you know, the winner of the Gillard Gaethje and the winner of our fight could be a very, he was talking about it being very possible that the winner would fight the winner to the next title after they fight.
And looking ahead, what can you tell me about those guys, Gillard and Gaethje?
Gillard and Gaethje, I think that's going to be a stand-up war. They're both going to stand, even though, like, you'd have to give the wrestling to Gaethje, but he uses it. Steve kind of has like a Chuck Liddell. Like Chuck Liddell was a D1 wrestler, but you never see him go for the takedown. He kind of uses it to stay on his feet and keep the fight standing. Yeah, I think that's going to be a stand-up war. It'll be a good fight. I don't know. That one's a coin toss. I don't know. They're both. I could see both of them finishing with the hands. But I don't know. Gaethje's more explosive. I think the speed you'd give to Melvin, but I think if the fight goes longer than that in the first period, I'd probably give it to Gaethje and his explosiveness.
You think both?
His high tempo.
You think both these guys will be keeping an eye on both you and Palomino come Saturday?
Wait, what was that?
You think both of these guys, Gillard and Gaethje, will keep an eye on both you and Palomino?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, they'll have to be
Louis?
An event that they're with us. I don't see why they wouldn't keep. I've already been offered to fight the title, so, I mean, I know they can't look past each other but still watch the fights. I mean, even though I've been out for the last year, I've been watching the fights. I mean, that'd be a smart thing to do, is if you watch this fight, if there might be a possible, you know, next fight after this one. But, yeah. I'm pretty sure they'd be watching. So.
Well, both you and Palomino have said that it's going to be a quick fight. Are you sticking to that? Because Palomino said first round knockout. I read an article about you, the same thing. You're sticking to it?
I feel like I'm going to grind them out. And like I said, I could stand with them if I need to, but I feel like there's a big difference on the ground game. So, but I mean, yeah, I feel gonna predict first, if not first, second round. I don't think it goes after the first round. I usually use the first round. If I can finish them, great. You know, I got good submissions and good strikes from the ground and pound. But usually after that first period, after I pound them for a while, then usually in the second period they try hard at the beginning of that second period, but then once. If you get that feeling of me getting on top of them again in that second period and you know, I smother them, they usually break. But.
Last question, Luis. You have that Hispanic background, Palomino being Hispanic. How does it feel to have that Hispanic background, both two Hispanics headlining a card like World Series of Fighting number 12?
It's great. Yeah, my whole dad's side of the family, I'm half Mexican. Hispanic, my dad's full-blooded Mexican, so I'm half, and that whole side of the family, man, you can't, they're excited for the fight, you know, just, that's something about, you know, that Mexican heritage, that Latino heritage, they just love fighting, you know, so it's, like, in our blood, they're all excited for this, and they all love watching any kind of martial arts, any kind of fighting, so, yeah, it's great. It's always great when you have, you know, something like that, like two guys headlining like that. You know, there's going to be a lot of Latino community watching that. So.
Wonderful, Luis. Well, I want to thank you so very much. Everyone check out Gonzalez and Palomino, August 9th World Series of Fighting number 12 on NBC Sports. Main event. Anything else you'd like to add?
I just like to thank you for having me on your show. I'd like to thank my team, MMA Gold. I'd like to thank my family and friends and all my sponsors, everyone that's helped me out, and World Series of Fighting for having confidence in me and bringing me back and first fight back in a year being injured and putting me back on the main event. So I'd like to thank everybody.
Awesome. Well, thanks so very much, man, and good luck.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar John Cena. Keep listening to The Roman Show. If you don't, I'll check the phone book. I'll find you. It'll get weird. With these. Weird.
All right, everyone. We're back. Turn back here at the Arrow Base. Out here. Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, Roman.
Yeah, trying to get over here. Got great guests lined up. We just had Luis Gonzalez on, and will be the main event team. We will see the Fighting 12 fight card later on. Art Davey is the creator of the UFC, and he'll be talking about, well, some stories that we never heard about getting everything set up. Stuff that will be shocked about mixed martial arts. Very shocked indeed, believe it or not. By the way, I want to briefly touch on wrestling. Next week, they'll be celebrating Hulk Hogan's birthday. Already lined up. NWO, apparently there are rumors that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash will be there to have an NWO reunion. That is the latest information that we got right now, that both those guys will be there. Jimmy Hart will be there. Paul Orndorff will be there too. Because all these guys have played a major role in Hulk Hogan's life.
Can't believe he's going to be turning 61. What's that? 61 years old.
Yeah. Can you believe that? 61? And he wants one more match. You still got it?
It's WWE. Huh? It's the WWE. It's the WWE.
I don't know. You think you still got it? One more?
I think so. The whole crowd is going to go wild if he gets into the ring one more time.
Yeah, it'll have to be very, very, very slow, though. I mean, it's not going to be very fast pace here. Now, when it reads this,
he's probably going to be the first match this year that's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm. Says here, Triple H, and I quote, the UFC isn't competition. WWE, like the movie Rocky. You know, this is according to BJPenn.com. The UFC aren't really a competitor to us, and I explain this to our talent this way in the Performance Center, and every time I say it, people will say to me, oh, that made it very clear for me. People like UFC, they like boxing, but it's completely different from what we are. We are like the movie Rocky. We're a story, we're a great story that just happens to make plays sometimes in the wrestling ring. So if you think about us, less a Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match, which you'll watch one time on pay-per-view, and then once that fight's over, it's kind of done, you know? And you're really not going back and watch it a bunch of times. Unless you're a connoisseur of boxing science, you're going to watch it one time. But the Rocky movie, you will watch over and over and over again. It's a story. It's the characters. Boxing is irrelevant to the movie, really. It's a triumph story. It's a love story. It's all those things. And that's what we do. We create characters that you gravitate towards. And he goes on and on and on. So that's what Triple H is saying when people try to compare the UFC and WWE. And I totally agree with Triple H. Sure, they might have some sort of a similarity with fanship, but it is completely different. You can never compare both of the things. Never. Completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the UFC, Joe, right now we are going to welcome the creator of the UFC, Art Davey, who has a new book, Is It Legal? It's a tell-all book about his experience in coming up with the UFC, the biggest MMA promotion in the world today. So tune into this interview because trust you me, you want to hear this one.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out.
Este es Tigre 1, y sigamos Roman Show. Hi, this is TNA Knockout Gail Kim, and keep watching The Roman Show.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We're returning back here live to the studio on The Roman Show. And on the line, it is a pleasure to have the creator of the UFC, Mr. Art Davey. Right now, currently, you could pick up a copy of This Is This Legal? Right now, you can find it on Amazon.com or at your local bookstore. He is the co-author. Mr. Davey, welcome to The Roman Show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Rodolfo. Pleasure.
Thank you, Art. Well, you know, it's a pleasure to speak to you, knowing that you are the creator of the UFC back then when you started back in 1993. And, well, it's blown up now. It's already legal. It's 21, celebrated 21 years this year. But first and foremost, is this legal on stores right now? You co-authored the book. Many people have already written about it. It came out last month. What can you tell us about the book?
Well, you know, I have a friendship going back several years with Sean Wheelock. And I had been approached a number of times over the last 10 years about doing a book, but it was Sean who finally got me moving forward on it. We located a publisher, and last fall we started writing the book and completed it in April of this year. It went on sale July 1st. So it was an opportunity for me to tell the story of the Big Bang of MMA, you know, just like in the cosmos, that first second of the Big Bang contains everything that is in the universe. Well, that first UFC event, in a way, contains everything that came afterwards. So it was an opportunity for me to tell the story of how I had the idea 25 years ago, and it took me 4 years to recruit partners in the martial arts and in television, and then to recruit 10 fighters to come to that first event.
How long did it take you to write this book?
About 7 months, Rodolfo.
Wow, 7 months, and you're working alongside with helping you out writing the whole thing. Now, how did you manage to go back? Did you take notes? You've been saving notes since you started, or was there any challenges writing the book?
Well, you know, I was fortunate in that, number one, I've got a good memory, and number two, coming from the advertising agency business, I always took notes any time I had a meeting with someone. The faxes and contracts that I had saved, you know, allowed me to reconstruct that entire period from 1989 through 1993, which is what the book Is This Legal covers.
And that's just amazing that you were able to keep that in mind to tell us the history about how you created the whole UFC and what a phenomenon it has become, and it keeps going. You know, looking back, did you ever imagine that you will start this thing and be the thing that it is today?
Well, we knew back in the day that it was going to be huge. When I say we, I think that Campbell McLaren at Semaphore and myself were both the most confident of anyone that this was going to be a franchise. It was a 5-year deal that WOW Promotions negotiated with Semaphore Entertainment. So it was never conceived as a one-off event, as a single spectacle. We knew it was going to click with our audience, young men around the world, and that it would get huge. I remember that John Milius, the screenwriter and film director who we recruited to be our creative director for the event, we had a meeting once in his office, and he said to me, "Art, this is going to be the new Excalibur. This is going to be the new standard to crown the world's ultimate warrior." It's not inconceivable, he said, that maybe 20 or 30 years from now, there'll be 50 million people on one evening watching around the world someone crown champion. So this was always thought of as a paradigm-changing event in the martial arts. And we knew that the world heavyweight boxing champion was considered the top of the food chain, and we were designing an event that would crown an athlete who would be superior to the world heavyweight boxing champion.
And rightfully so. Back then, you know, you had the tournament, self-fighting in a tournament, you know, being the lone survivor after fighting several times, that in itself was just unheard of. You know, it'd be great if we have. I know there was one company that was trying to bring back that to the States, a tournament format. You know, having on the same day, which is insane. But it definitely shows how much heart a fighter has. But just most recently, speaking about tournament, you know, Bellator was known for their tournament style, tournament format. But you recently were at the most recent Bellator event in last month. Bellator has now shifted with a different regime. Scott Coker is now heading the promotion as Glenn Remley has left. You were out there in Bellator. What made you go out there?
Well, you know, the folks at Bellator, starting with Sean Wheelock and Jimmy Smith, who have been friends of mine, and, you know, John McCarthy was there that night as the referee, and John and I go back to, you know, 1994 as far as, you know, UFC events, and 1993 as far as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I've been friends with Kevin Kay, the president of Spike, for a number of years, and he was there that night and did a wonderful testimonial for the book. So they invited me to come out that night and see the latest incarnation of Bellator. I had met Scott Coker before, but it was a pleasure to renew acquaintances with him. I had a great time.
And was there a relationship with you with Bellator after that? What came about after that night?
Well, just that there's an ongoing communication and a friendship. I'll look forward to being, if my schedule permits, at another Bellator event in the future. As I say, I'm friends with the commentating team there, and it's always a pleasure for me to see what they're doing. I'm excited about the fact that Scott Coker has taken over and is planning on making some changes to grow the franchise and position, you know, the Bellator brand so that fans can enjoy, you know, a second major MMA brand in North America.
Well, were you a fan of the old format, the whole tournament-style format, when Remley was there?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, were you a fan of the old Bellator when Remley was around with the whole tournament-style format?
Yeah, the old format, was one that we pioneered in the first event. In fact, it was the key element, along with pay-per-view, that defined what I was doing in 1992 and 1993. The tournament format puts a lot of pressure on the fighter who finally wins it, obviously. I remember when Hoist won UFC 2 after four matches that night. There was a 16-man tournament. He told me at the end, he said he had nothing left. He was completely out of gas. The other problem with the tournament format, Rodolfo, is the possibility that if a fighter gets injured and you're bringing in an alternate, so that automatically creates some problems for the tournament format. Right now, the way the rules are around the country with MMA, a fighter would be limited to a total of 25 minutes in any given evening of active competition. So that would be five-minute championship rounds. So if someone was going to try to bring back the tournament format, they would have to be aware of and work within the limitations of five-minute rounds.
Yeah, I know there was a local region promotion that tried to do that, or I think they're going to do it. I haven't heard anything yet. But I know they were trying to do that whole tournament in one day. But you're right. You know, the rules have changed. The sport has evolved. And it's, I've heard of such a thing. You could possibly do it in another country. I believe they still do that. But moving forward, looking at now the UFC, Art, I mean, how close do you follow the sport? And are you a fan of the current product? And if you were there, would you make any changes, or are you just like how it is?
You know, I'm very excited about the development of the sport. I'm a fan of the UFC. I enjoy Bellator. I enjoy the Tough Enough amateur promotion in Las Vegas. And my good friend Ted Williams, his promotion in the Southwest Gladiator Challenge. So, you know, I love to see the development of, Vitaly Minnikov, you know, a Sambo fighter. I brought the first Sambo fighter into the UFC, and Oleg Taktarov, years ago. I'm a big fan of Michael Chandler and Eddie Alvarez. There's a lot of exciting fighters in the sport. John Jones, to me, is the modern evolution of what the light heavyweight championship is all about. And I think that the sport could use five Ronda Rouseys. I'm a big fan of Ronda's. I think she's exciting and good for the sport of MMA, and I'm glad to see that women are now competing, a sport that we all love.
What was your opinion back then? Did you ever imagine that women were going to be heavily involved and have such power as Ronda Rousey has right now as we speak? I mean, now she's even making Hollywood movies.
Well, you know, back in the day, given the political pressure that we felt, both from the media and from some politicians, there was no thought at that time of bringing women into the MMA, into the UFC. We felt that we had enough on our hands with trying to keep it going with the pressure we felt. But it doesn't surprise me that that women eventually came into MMA. You know, ever since Billie Jean King, women's professional sports have turned around considerably, and women today compete in almost anything that men compete in. So it's not a shock or a surprise, but it's a pleasure to see how successful Ronda has become. In a sense, she's become the face of MMA, and I think that that's a pretty glorious comment on how far our sport has come.
Yeah, no doubt about that. She has. She's doing that crossover with the Hollywood movie, The Expendables 3, which comes out soon to theaters. Now, how heavily involved are you with mixed martial arts? I know you try to, or you are, promoting the X-Arm, which is a mix of arm wrestling and martial arts. I was actually checking it out not too long ago. And last I read it, that you're just trying to establish your brand, trying to get it out there?
Well, you know, I was hired by a TV production company to develop this in 2008, and we had some great partnerships, End Them All on the Game, and Sally Ann Salzano was recruited as a TV partner to develop a reality show. Machinima.com did 94 reality show episodes online with X-Arm. But currently it's inactive. We're having a board of directors meeting next month to take a look at it. But it has not gotten the attention and traction that we originally hoped. It's very difficult to start a brand new sport, one that is not practiced already on some level in schoolyards and in gymnasiums.
But will you try to go ahead and take a stab at it again?
I'm not sure at this point if we're going to continue at all with X-Arm. It's been on hold now for almost 2 years, Rodolfo.
Any other venture that you have in mind? Are you perhaps working with the Bellator or World Series of Fighting? Any other promotions? Are you still going to be heavily involved in MMA some way somehow?
No, I'm not currently involved in MMA. I've been writing and been enjoying my retirement. The success of this book now is keeping me on the road, both for interviews and for autograph signing. I anticipate that I'll be doing that through the end of the year. I'm looking at writing more books, and we'll see what other subjects and topics I'll be covering as I move forward. But I doubt at this point, Rodolfo, that I will be involved directly in an MMA promotion in the future.
And do you have a close relationship with the UFC?
The UFC has been very kind to me. They invited me last November out to the 20th anniversary show, UFC 167. I had a chance to meet Lorenzo, Frank, and Dana White and enjoy the hospitality of the house. And they recently asked for 25 of my books, which we delivered to them about a month ago. So my relationship with the UFC has been excellent.
That is just great art. I want to thank you so very much again for coming on here on The Roman Show. Pick up a copy right now. Is This Legal? You can find it on Amazon.com or at a bookstore near you. It came out last month. Art Davey explains the whole nine about the UFC, mixed martial arts, and so forth. Art, anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I can also mention that, like you said, it's available, Is This Legal, at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and from the publisher, AscendBooks.com. It's been a real pleasure, Rodolfo, being with you today on The Roman Show.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Davey. I appreciate your time and talk to you very soon.
This is Booker T, 5-time WCW champion. Make sure you guys keep listening to The Roman Show, and I know you can dig that, sucker!
All right, folks, you're back on the air. Joe the reporter, you're on the other end. Hey, Joe, did you know that Dan Le Batard, the columnist for ESPN, he also works down here at local radio station 790, The Ticket. He went and paid for a large ad in Akron where Ohio, Akron, Ohio, where they are expecting LeBron James to come home, I believe tomorrow or this weekend, but one of these days. And in the billboard, it says, I'll read it to you right now. It's really actually funny exactly what it is, but it says basically, thank you, LeBron. Oh, no, you're welcome, LeBron. Love you, Miami, with the two rings. Because LeBron never actually, in a polite way, said, hey, you know, thanks so much for the memories here. Thanks, Miami and the fans. We appreciate it. He just basically left and said, I'm going home.
Well,
so
that is true.
This,
he really didn't say anything to the Miami fans.
Mm-hmm. So if you see this billboard, it's literally like, I think a few blocks away from where LeBron is. And it's a huge billboard-sized ad in Akron, Ohio. Again, with the two championship rings. And on top, you're welcome, LeBron. Love, Miami. And that is according
wow.
to Le Batard who did that, who is really, really funny. I wonder what reaction he'll have, but I think that's just great.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, I like it. I love it. And LeBron James actually is losing a lot of weight. Apparently, he cut the carbs.
Yeah, he looked like a freaking skeleton right now.
Mm-hmm. Mind you, that same billboard, they tried to run an ad in the Ohio newspaper, but it was declined. They couldn't do it.
Wow.
He couldn't do it. So he's been picking on LeBron and so forth, so we'll see what takes forth there. Again, excited. Sacramento, August 30th, the Roman Show will be at the arena to cover UFC 177, where two titles will be on the line. So really excited to go out to the West Coast. Really, really psyched for that. With that said, we got one more guest, Joe, and we're talking about Brandon Himpelman, who fights Alexis Vila this Saturday in the World Series of Fighting. You can check that fight out on NBC Sports Network. So make sure you tune in for that and do not miss it. With that said, we're going to be right back with more on The Roman Show. Remember to please subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/rroman0201.
Check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
All right, folks, we're turning back live here on the program, and thanks for joining us again on The Roman Show. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at The Roman Show, and interact with us throughout the show this evening. All right, folks, August 9th, around the corner, World Series of Fighting 12 will take place on NBC Sports, and on the line we have Brandon Himpelman, who will be fighting Alexis Vila. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Brandon. All righty, Brandon, so you're going to fight Alexis Vila. Alexis Vila, former Bellator fighter. Now he's signed with the World Series of Fighting, and he's also an Olympic wrestler. What are your thoughts on your upcoming opponent?
I think he's a tough guy. I think he hits hard. He's going to be a brick house, and of course he's got some good wrestling, so I've got my work cut out for me.
Now, you're coming off a loss back in August of last year to the now current champion, Marlon Moraes. Number one, why have you taken time from fighting? And secondly...
I was supposed to fight in January. I was supposed to fight in June. I was supposed to fight in July. And now I'm finally fighting in August, a year later.
So you
I had a bunch of opponents fall out. I've had Pablo Alfonso back out on me. Then I had Andrew Yates back out on me. Then they tried to set up in July to have me fight Alexis in July, and they didn't want the fight. And now, I guess, in August, they decided they'll take it.
And now, so you've been ready. You've been healthy.
They could have found other opponents for me, and I got a little bit bitter about it, but at least I'm on the main card, and I get my fight finally.
So you've been healthy ever since the fight.
I'm fine, yeah. I mean, I've been unhealthy now from overtraining for so long. I've been in fight camp. I was supposed to fight June 21st. So I've been in camp for like 3 months now.
Do you find that as a plus or as a negative?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Do you find that as a positive or a negative in the fact that, of course, they might be a little frustrated because here they are, they tell you June and then you have to wait a little later.
It's positive in some ways. I mean, I've been staying on the grind, you know. I could have been working more on technique instead of just on cardio that whole time. Mm-hmm. But it's not really going to matter. I mean, I was doing enough of both. I mean, I've been around long enough that I'm used to the letdown of the sport.
Now, you fought Morales in your last fight. You came out short, but what experience did you gain from that loss?
I just got to see what the very best was like, you know. Marlon Moraes is far and away, he's the best striker in the bantamweight division, bar none. I mean, UFC or otherwise, he's the very best. So I got to see how I compared. So that's where I get a have an accurate, you know, self-image.
Have you trained in your training currently right now since the last? Have you trained? Have you changed anything in your training, or have you trained a little bit more in something particular?
I've changed a lot in my training. I mean, I'm from Twin Falls, Idaho. Mm-hmm. We got a couple tough guys from Twin Falls, but there's no gym or anything. I opened up a gym in Twin after that fight, and since I've already closed the doors. But I moved up to Boise, so I've been up here just training at Combat Fitness, the Team Twisted Genetics, and then with Mitch Coach Jiu-Jitsu, Alliance Jiu-Jitsu Boise. So I've changed a whole lot. I mean, my whole preparation is completely different this time around.
It's one thing that points out in this fight, Brandon, is obviously Alexis Vila's age. He's 43 years old. Does that number at all mean anything to you?
Not really. I'm sure he's prepared just fine. He's going to be a little, you know, he's going to be, you know, seasoned. He's been around for a while, done some things. I'm not sure how well he holds up for his age. I'm not sure what he puts in his body to make sure that he can compete at this level, but he's definitely going to come and he's going to be in shape. I've been watching his fights, and he doesn't look like a 43-year-old.
So have you been
I'd say he's a good 10 years younger than his age says.
Have you been keeping up with his career and his fights? Have you seen him in past before you were known?
He fought one of my brothers in arms last 2 years ago or so. Cesar Scalavos was one of my main training partners my whole career. So I had to help him prepare for Alexis when they fought in the CSA.
Also, well, you were down here.
It was a pretty close fight.
So you were down here in Miami for that fight?
I didn't go to Miami. No. Another training partner, David Begara, and my old coach, Carlos Calavos, went with Cesar. Now, Cesar's the number one recruited flyweight in the world, so he's doing pretty damn well himself.
Well, it's just funny how the world is so, you know, it's a small world, you know. A former teammate of yours fought him, and now you're getting a shot at him. Do you think you're going to go in there with a little bit of revenge?
Excuse me?
You think you're going to go in there with a little bit of a revenge to up one up on him since he beat your teammate?
I wouldn't call it revenge, but yeah, it'd be nice to get one back for Idaho, you know.
Now going into this,
we're from basically the same lineage as far as the fight scene goes, so it'll be real nice to go in there and get that win.
Now, obviously, Alexis' top art here is wrestling, knowing that he has an Olympic background. But anything in particular that points out to you? I mean, he does have 7 knockouts, but anything that you're really going to be cautious about when you fight him on August 9th?
I could give a shit less about his wrestling. I'm more worried about his left hook and that overhand. His striking, he's got decent one, too. He doesn't really put his combos together very well, but he hits like a brick house, so he relies on his power a lot, and for good reason. He drops his chin, and he goes in like a bull in a china shop, just throwing bolos, so I'm gonna watch those big power punches. Not gonna just get out of the way. I'm gonna counter him and make him pay for him.
Any of the negative side of him that you think that he has some holes in? One fight I could point out right now is the Josh Sampo fight that he had.
He just gassed out in that fight. And the funny thing, Sampo also fought my buddy Cesar, and they had a real close fight. So, I think it's gonna be a great fight. I mean, he might get a little tired, but that Sampo fight, he's winning the whole thing until, like, you know, the very last round. So,
of course. Well, Brandon, I want to thank you very much here, man. So, training right now, where are you currently training? You said, and some of the standouts out there in Idaho.
I'm at Combat Fitness in Boise. I mean, it's owned by Scott Jorgensen, Jesse Brock, and got just a ton of great fighters there. You know, Scotty, Jesse, we got Ricky Steele, Freddie Ortega. We got Matt May, some up-and-comers. We have Josh Wick, Matt Jones, Chuck Fordyce. I mean, there's just a ton of great guys to go lift over there. And then I also have a Team Mitch coach, so I got a ton of jiu-jitsu badasses to work with over there.
Wonderful, Brandon. Well, I want to thank you very much, man, for joining us here on the Roman Show. Anything else you want to add?
I'd just like to give a big shout out to my management team, Fight Pass Consulting, my manager Alfred Benson, all my training partners, everyone here in Idaho that supported me, and across the nation or world if there's any out there. And then my sponsors, definitely, I got Hit Supplements, I mean, Garden of Life Raw. They've just been making sure that even though I'm broke, not getting any money for fights right now, I've been able to, eat well and have all my proteins, things like that. Rev Gear helping me out. I have so many Virus for keeping me geared up with gym clothes to wear, and just all the sponsors to make sure that I don't have to quit.
Wonderful, Brandon. Well, thank you so very much, man, and good luck against Alexis Vila, World Series of Fighting number 12, August 9th on NBC Sports. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Thank you. Have a good night. There you have our three guests here for this evening. Hey, Joe, so no more WWE Magazine. It's completely shut down. This is a whole part of the budget cuts, the World Wrestling
Entertainment. Yeah, 7% budget cut.
Carter Rodriguez, we had mentioned last week that he is also no longer part of the WWE. Wow. What else are they going to do? Cut the Lemon guys?
Oh, boy, no. Not the Lemon guys.
I mean, Jesus, I know times are rough, but wow.
I don't know.
Like,
if anybody saw Raw, I'm sorry, but if anybody saw Raw, how many times did Triple H, it sounded like if it was an infomercial for the WWE Network. It was incredible. Like, he was just saying, oh, watch it on the WWE Network for only $9.99. And the whole crowd was just going with it and everything.
I heard that. It was just nonstop promoting the WWE Network. But here's one thing. WCW Nitro will begin airing on the network. It says here that Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, and George Barrios participated in a chat. And revealed that WCW Nitro will begin airing on the WWE Network this fall, along with the Monday Night Wars series. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is that most likely the people that are going to be buying the WWE Network for only $9.99 are going to be watching the WCW Nitro. That was the only thing that was actually good back in that mid-90s.
Yes. Those Nitros are really good. They're really good stuff. All right, guys, well, that's pretty much going to wrap it up for tonight's show here on The Roman Show. We want to thank you so very much for tuning in. Follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show. Visit their website, theromanshow.com, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/rroman0201, where we have an exclusive interview with Luis Baboon Palomino, who fights this Saturday at the World Series of Fighting fight card at number 12. I want to thank you very much for everything, and we will catch you next week right here on The Roman Show.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolpho Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolpho Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.